Taking Care of Iredell with North Carolina State Representative Jeff McNeely is about to begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning, Iredell County. Hope everybody's doing well this morning. It's a nice day out there. It's a little crisp. That's okay. It's getting a little too warm too fast anyway, so the weather's turning around maybe a little bit more like it should. I'm not ready for summer just yet. I would like to have at least another week of spring. We'll see. We'll see. Hey, got a great show today. Jason Simmons, newly elected chairman to the North Carolina GOP, is going to be on the second half of the show, so I hope you stay in tune for that. I think it'll be a really good show. I think he's got a lot to tell us, and we got a lot of work to do going into the election, so he's going to play a very critical part in leading us. Also, just so you'll know, your good quality sleep time is pretty much over. We head back into session Wednesday. So remember, it's time to start learning to sleep with one eye open. The legislature is back in business and we are in session. So we'll see what we get done. Mainly in a short session, hopefully only going to last a couple months, two or three. And we'll just clean up a few things. Thought that we were going to be pretty broke, and we're still not rich, but we do have some money. So evidently our policies are working. We keep cutting taxes and we keep gaining revenue. That just blows the Democrats' theory of how you ought to do this all to pieces as far as government goes. Strange how that works. Y'all can spend your money better than we can. We want you, or I do, as the majority of us do. The Republicans want you to keep it. So I hope you do. Hey, want to do a big shout out to the Boys and Girls Club. And before maybe I get into that, hey, if anybody would like to call in, 844-788-3464. So that's 844-788-3464. Boys and Girls Club had a big fundraiser here this past week, and it's the happiest day, is the way they title it, in Iredell. Pancakes and sausage. I think they sold over 2,100 tickets. Many, many volunteers from the community, including Miss North Carolina, Taylor Lloyd, was among them. Saw a lot of other people. Saw the mayor. Saw quite a few different ones there. A lot of other politicians I saw floating around. Of course, you know, there's food and people there, so, you know, we're going to show up. Or like the flies. And so anyway, but I think they raised a lot of money, and they bested their record from last year. So and had a silent auction, a lot of other stuff, but a good job. I think Brady Johnson led the charge on that. He was our former superintendent, and looks like everybody got well fed and had a great day, and it was the happiest day. So we'll see how things go. Hopefully they're going to do it again next year, from what I understand. Some tedious things going on in our federal government. The U.S. House passed a $95 billion aid package for Israel and Ukraine. Also, Taiwan was involved in there. Also inside the bill are measures to seize Russian money to rebuild Ukraine from the central bank. They're going to take their money to the central bank. Well, that makes complete sense to me, since they're the ones blowing it up. So we got that involved in the bill also. And these bills were actually individual bills then lumped together and sent to the Senate. And in there also was a ban on TikTok by basically roughly the end of the year, unless they're sold to somebody outside of China. And it can't be Russia, and it can't be any of our other, what we would classify, I guess, as enemies or terrorist organizations or countries that we don't really feel like are doing their best for mankind. We pick our enemies, I guess. But very interesting. On the TikTok part, we talked about this earlier in shows we've had before, and, you know, owned directly or indirectly, still involved heavily with the Chinese Communist Party. This can't be a good thing, and they have a lot of data, and they're able to kind of, I almost want to use the word manipulate, and they are our youth and all of our people to that point with what they feed and the algorithm they run. It's very dangerous, in my opinion. But getting back to the aid package, a lot of people were not so hip on sending more aid to Ukraine. I'm wanting to know about accountability. I don't mind supporting Ukraine as long as we have the accountability on it. We are spending a lot of money there. but I'd rather see that happen than us to send our troops there. So, you know, we got to think about that. We got to look about where we're at in the world. Also, Israel, they advanced their attack. At one moment, the Biden administration saying, yeah, we're back in Israel. The next minute, they're talking out the other side of their mouth, and they're working against Israel. So we'll see. They are determined that they're going to have a cleansing over there, I guess you'd call it. Maybe some people may call it genocide. I think they've started a process, and they're going to make sure they finish it so that Hamas is removed completely from Gaza. And so I think that's what we do. But in the process of this bill, Mike Johnson, our Speaker of the House, has put himself into quite a jam a little bit. And about 100 Republicans out of 200 and I think 18 voted no on this. And so the other roughly 115 or so voted yes, along with pretty much all the Democrats except for the ones that are opposed to Israel. So you had quite a few of those, probably about 50 or so on the far, far left that are opposed to Israel. This could put Speaker Johnson's job in jeopardy. A lot of them threatened him with different things, and so we'll see how that goes. I don't think we're going to find anybody that's going to please them, the far, far right now, and so I don't know where we go if we get rid of him. We've been down this road before, and we couldn't find it. I personally feel like he's trying to do the best job he can. President Trump even weighed in on this to a point. I don't think he really said yes or no, but he wasn't against the aid package, especially on the Israel side and on Taiwan and some of the things. And he's kind of down the middle on TikTok right now, but he is putting his pressure on the Republicans in the House. And now it goes to the Senate, and we'll see how fast the Senate moves. They do have the Democrats have a slight majority there in it, and we'll see how that gets done, see what we have there. It's going to be interesting, though, to see where this goes for Speaker Johnson. I truly feel like he's done as good as he can. I do believe him to be a conservative. I do believe he's trying. I do believe evidently some evidence was brought forth to him, supposedly, that a lot of the ones that are not on the Intelligence Committee were brought in and briefed, and he was one of them, to show exactly what is going on in Israel and in Ukraine and where we're at. So we'll see if this is what tanks his speakership or if it propels him. He seemed to think the other day in his thing that history will look upon them favorably, as he said. I do know that the Ukraine is important as far as the world economy goes and as far as what Russia needs, it has. So it's a very critical piece for Russia, and it's also a very critical piece for Europe. It supplies a lot of the food, a lot of the different things that comes out of the Ukraine. So that's why our prices are so high, for one reason, that and just poor spending habits. But we'll see how this goes. I'm not going to tell you I'm a super fan, but I'm not going to tell you that I think this was the wrong thing. I just look for accountability. All right, folks, we got to pay the bills. We're going to take a break and come back here just in a little bit. Stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Right here. Taking Care of Iredell with NC Representative Jeff McNeely will return after this short break on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Taking Care of Iredell with your host, NC Representative Jeff McNeely on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
All right, back here for the first part of the middle part of the show. It always gets confusing there. I guess the second fourth of the show, maybe something like that. Anyway, back to what we're talking about here. And like I said, if anybody like to call in and talk, 844-788-3464. So after 8 years on the job as Attorney General, Josh Stein, Department of Justice here in North Carolina, finally has the rape test kits backlog under control. Wow. Didn't take him but 8 years to try to get this done. Oh, we do have a caller? All right. We got somebody that's calling in. We'll take him, see who we got. Hey, this is Representative Jeff McNeely. Who we got?
Hey, Jeff, it's William here. How you doing this morning?
Hey, William, I'm doing good, brother. How you getting along?
Pretty good, pretty good. Okay, Yao and Jim would be proud of State doing what they did this year.
Oh, yeah.
In basketball. Let's talk about Iredell County a little bit. I'll give up on Washington, D.C. right now. Them people up there just can't make up their mind what coffee flavor they want, let alone trying to solve the world problems, you know?
Oh, I tell me.
Tit for tat.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Tit for tat for them people up there. Tit for tat. But anyway, I don't know if you know, you know, with the project that happened last year and been happening the last 4 years with the Crossroads of America, the interstate system, is there going to be a third phase that you know of where they're going to finish up things, or is it complete now?
No, I mean, they still got a little punch list, but now, you know, they're not going to build any more flyovers or anything. All the structural architectural stuff, that's done. Now we got to go back
right.
And fix the sorry paving job they kind of patched up with and left. And they were, you know, I'm not going to even say cutting them slack or whatever. They tried to hit a deadline. You know, there's different deadlines that come.
Yeah.
And they tried to hit a deadline. And one of the parts of the deadline was you can't do asphalt in cold weather. It wasn't a bad winter, but you still
right.
can't do it. So they'll probably be back. I look for them in May. It's probably starting to be warm enough. You know, the ground temperature needs to be about 60 degrees, and the asphalt will get warmer than that if the sun shines on it. So once the weather warms back up and then get the asphalt to stick, they're going to come back in and fix 77, because 77 is the problem. It's just a mess, especially going up the hill there towards East Broad and Signal Hill. I mean, all through there is
yes,
kind of crazy.
Yes,
but,
sir. Yes, sir. I go through there every day, and you got to be on you. You got to have both hands on the steering wheel and paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I kind of figured that might be what the case was, but just didn't know for sure. And another thing, I was going to ask you about the old mall. Have you heard any rumors or stories about what they're going to try to do with that?
This week, you know, every week there seems to be a new rumor. Somebody's bought it. You know, everybody from the Chinese to the whatever.
Yeah.
I think that might be the one place in North Carolina that if the Chinese bought, nobody'd be mad. You know. I haven't heard anything lately. I truly believe a lot of this has to do with the families that own it, and a lot of it has to do, I think, with how they're going to handle. You know, the few things that are certain in life are death and taxes, and I think that's what they're trying to figure out as far as if that happens, where will they do with their tax situation and how will that be handled. I that's the only thing I can figure. It's in rough shape. I've seen inside it. It's not inhabitable as far as being able to use the building hardly anything except for Belk's. And even in Belk's, I tend to wonder about if they're in a mold issue that they're encompassing from the rest of the building. So.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't pulled out. I know Belk owns their building and owns the – they don't lease like a lot of other merchants do over the years. But I'm just surprised Belk hadn't pulled out by now and moved somewhere else. But really, in all honesty, I don't know where they would move to, because over towards the Walmart area, it's pretty crowded over there already.
Yeah, and Belk, you know this, that the actual Belk fashion, whatever you want to call it, merchandising company is separate from they actually got sold 3 or 4 years ago. The Belk family still has all these real estate holdings. They basically sold the entity of Belk, but kept all the real estate and physical property. So you got one company that owns the building and the land that it stands on right there, and another company leasing from them to sell merchandise mm-hmm. in it. So I guess at what point does that company want to pull away? I don't know, and I'm sure that the Belk family is going to sit back and watch and see what happens with the rest of it, and they'll capitalize when the time comes to sell the property. Belk built their business a lot the same way McDonald's went about doing their franchising. McDonald's was never really about a hamburger. It was always about owning real estate in all the choice intersections in America.
Yeah, you know, I think even as an individual, if you got enough money, you can own a McDonald's yourself. I've heard of people doing that in past years. They worked themselves up from mopping the floors to management to owning one of the restaurants.
Yep. And then I think after 25 years, they end up owning it back, and then you end up being a lessee. Right. And it's a cool scheme. It works. I know, you know, like I said, I know people that have done well. The Neaters here, Melissa and Mike, have done well with it. And McDonald's has done extremely well. So good for all, I guess.
Well, Jeff, I'll let you go. Let somebody else get on there. I'm sure you got a guest your second half of the show. But I was just curious. I figured that's what was going on with the interstate system. And once they get that smoothed out and everything, they'll probably look into doing something with the mall there because it faces the interstate. Let's face it. You know, I mean,
it's prime property. Prime property.
Yeah. Sure is. All right. Well, take care. Have a good day and have a good work week, okay?
All right, brother. Be good. We got another one. Right, we got another caller. We're going to take it. All right. Hey, this is Representative Jeff McNeely. Who we got?
This is George Jones.
Hey, well, there you go, George. Hey, how are you?
Well, the race is on today.
That's right.
Been playing checkers and cards with Elvis, and he cheats all the time.
I hear you.
Well, I do have some serious things to talk to you about.
What you got?
Number one, I called a number of times about the DOT needs to get a tractor with a brush on the front and clean up the intersection where the big Love's truck stop is.
Okay.
That is such a mess, and it only takes a half hour. All right, that's number one complaint. Number two, the mall is a portal for interstellar travel, I believe.
I don't think the aliens want to even enter there. I think they're too afraid, but go ahead.
Well, that's just something I was thinking. And as far as serious things, the Ukrainian thing and Russian thing is, most people don't know this or look into it, it's tied to the Egyptian economy and foods. Egypt has been importing their wheat for years, and a lot of it from Russia, and mostly a lot of it from Ukraine. And they are having food problems because of this cutoff with the war. And if Ukraine got smart and went in with Trump and made a deal with the Russians to give the Russians a corridor to the Black Sea where they could ship some of their commodities out to Egypt and the Ethiopian area, most people don't know there is a almost global war going to start in the Ethiopian area over the dams they're putting up. And it all involves wheat and other commodities that are being shipped into Egypt and the other Middle Eastern countries. Look on YouTube. You'll be amazed.
Well, that's the thing. You know, like I said, I think what you realize is when you look at Ukraine and you look at these other countries that depend on them for their food, how important food is. I mean, we take it for granted here in America. But in other countries, that's the first thing you find security in. You know, if you can't feed yourself, then you're militarily not very viable. You've got to be self-sustainable so that you can feed yourself. Then you worry about the bombs, the missiles, the bullets, the whatever. I mean, you know, it's not real hard. You starve somebody out. That's kind of what started World War II with the Japanese. We crushed their economy and we cut off all their supply, and we were their main agricultural food supply. And we kind of forced them, almost, in my opinion, to attack Pearl Harbor. So, you know, hungry people are mean people.
Well, we gave them the plan. Yeah. The USA had a plan on how you would attack Hawaii, and the Japs took it and did it.
Oh, yeah. So,
but the only thing more important than food is water. That needs to be protected at all costs, especially here. So I complain about everything, don't do anything, but...
At least you're aware. You're aware of what's going to happen, you know. So
what I really wonder about in the legislature is Is there a overall 100-year plan for North Carolina as far as transportation, rail lines, light rail, things like that that would solve all of our problems? And I often wondered if we didn't build an airport somewhere up around Albemarle, away from everything, that you had to go to get on a plane or on a shuttle to different airports or train stations, and make our transportation system the best in the world. Because that area is in between Greensboro, Winston-Salem, Raleigh, and Charlotte. And it's a natural area for that sort of new town or new airport. But
I don't know. Well, we do have a 20-year STIP plan, but George, we're running out of time. But we'll talk about that another time. We'll talk about the STIP, strategic transportation.
That is a guy.
See you, man. All right. Y'all stay tuned. Come back in for the second part of the show. Got Jason Simmons, new GOP chair. It's going to be good.
More Taking Care of Iredell with North Carolina Representative Jeff McNeely is coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. It's Taking Care of Iredell with NC Representative Jeff McNeely on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
All right, back here for the second half of the show, and got Jason Simmons, our newly elected chair for the North Carolina GOP, the Republican Party, on the line. Let's see if we can bring him in. Hey, Jason, are you there?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, man, glad to have you on there. We've been trying to work this out for a couple of weeks, folks, and we finally got it pulled off. So, tell us a little bit about who Jason Simmons is, for those out there, my listeners, that may not know, the man behind the scenes.
Well, and that's very much been the case, Jeff. I've worked with the North Carolina Republican Party since 21 in the role of the executive director, and previously served in various capacities working on presidential campaigns or up in Washington, D.C. with President Trump's administration. So bringing both a very familiar understanding of how to win in North Carolina, but a lot of relationships nationally that will help us as we go into this 24 cycle.
All right. And Jason, are you married, got kids? Well, tell us a little bit about your personal life.
No, yes. Married to love of my life. We've been married now 23 years.
Wow.
And two beautiful daughters, one that's in college and one that's graduating early to be able to pursue a college career in soccer. Hmm. And so obviously with the changes on Title IX as a parent of a athlete, it is very meaningful to me, and to see just how you are putting just our daughters at risk on the playing field is a shameful act.
Yeah, tell me about it. And all the different stuff that happens to happen in the locker room before they ever get there, and all the other craziness. So good news is North Carolina, we've kind of took care of that issue. So she can relax a little bit. She can relax a little bit. So, well, all right. Now, you were the executive director. Michael Whatley was our chair, been chair, I guess, since 2019. So he'd been there a while. He evidently, I think, has done a wonderful job, and so has everybody else, because President Trump has decided to bring him up, and he's now the head of the whole United States affiliation of the National Republican Party. And so the chairmanship came open here, I guess, what, about a month ago now? A little bit more than a month ago?
Yeah, so you had President Trump that had tapped Chairman Whatley, who had been previously serving in this capacity as the North Carolina Republican chair, again, as you indicated, since 2019, and done a great job. We've seen great successes both in 20 and then again in 22. And one of the very attractive things for Chairman Whatley in President Trump's eyes was what we have done on the election integrity front, being able to make sure that we're protecting the ballot here across the state. We have the poll observers, the poll greeters, the poll workers, but then a litany of attorneys across the state to assist as we count ballots, as we have questions, and making sure that those questions are resolved in a very clear and transparent manner. Because the one thing that we want to make sure is that there is real confidence and public trust in our election process. We see too many other areas across the country where there are significant questions. But here in North Carolina, under Chairman Whatley's leadership, we were able to make sure that there was confidence in there. And that's where you especially saw with now Chief Justice Newby in his race, which was decided by hand-eye recount in many counties, litany of observers and attorneys there to protect the ballot.
Well, and then so he got picked to go up forward. So that opened up our chair here for the North Carolina Republican Party. And you put your name in the hat. Also, I think Jim Womack, and there was a third. I can't remember the exact third one. I apologize for that. I don't think they really came into play that much. But had a vote down in Selma, North Carolina, and I went to participate in that. And you overwhelmingly were picked to be the new chair. And so congratulations on that.
Well, I appreciate it. That third gentleman, Marcus Kinley, out of Guilford County.
That's it was. You know, I could not remember.
Yeah. No, good. Fine gentleman and been a great contributor to our party for a number of decades. So appreciate his leadership there in the Guilford area and everything he's contributed. But it was a wonderful evening, and the support across the state was very overwhelming. And as I wrapped up my comments at that point, it was, we got to get to work because the election cycle is on us right now as we see early vote for our second runoff is starting this week. And then we'll finally have the field set and then start going hard again for our general election. And you have absentee ballots that will start dropping on September 6th. So there's a lot of work that has to be done now as we prepare for this upcoming election.
Yeah, and you know, the party has to kind of sort of, I guess, stay neutral or just maybe quiet during the runoff till two Republicans for the let's see which district. I'm trying to think here. 13th district, wasn't it? Isn't it the 13th?
Yeah,
13th, yeah. And also for auditor. So that, you know, it's Republican against Republican, but still, there's work to do to make sure that people are getting out and, you know, making sure we still have our poll observers in place, even though we're really concentrating on Republican. Still, things can go awry, so it's not a total just sit back and watch. But you know, we're counting the days to when we have our ticket settled, and then this wide open race till November the 5th.
That is correct. As you indicated, we've got two statewide races with the auditor as well as the lieutenant governor's race.
Lieutenant governor, gosh bless, forgot about that. And that's about maybe the most important to a point. They're all important.
Yeah, and then with obviously a very high profile race in Congressional District 13. And so those races, we will have our collection of poll observers across the state in our election integrity war room set up to be able to take those calls and to be able to resolve questions that come up throughout this process. But what we saw during the primary, especially all of the concerns and angst that the Democrats were trying to put forward regarding voter ID, all proved to be not. And many people were able to come show their IDs. If they didn't, they were able to come back and show them. So all of those concerns that we heard from the Democrats continue to be nothing more than false alarms.
Well, and, you know, I've only heard of one here in my county, and I don't know the whole story on it. I think it was a elderly man in his late 80s, you know, and he didn't want to, is almost to the point where he didn't want to put forth the effort. And maybe there is some effort if you do not have a factual ID. You know, I don't know all the story, but that's one out of the whole county of about 200,000 people. So, you know, and what do you, just let me get your take on this. The voter turnout was lower. And that kind of surprised me in a way, but I guess, you know, the top of the ticket's kind of settled. So maybe people weren't real excited about trying to come out, although down the ballot, which is, includes people like myself, pretty important. But I also wondered, could the numbers be down because we're only really getting the people that are eligible to vote? Did that ever come into the election integrity minds that make, because we thought about that in the House and the Senate when we did a lot of the stuff for, I think it was 747, the bill on election integrity, that we wondered if turnout would be lower. And turnout was, I can't really put the two together yet. I guess we'll know more in the fall. But we wonder if we cut out some of the monkey business, and that's why the turnout was lower. I don't know. What's your take?
What we saw was more so the lack of enthusiasm on the Democrat side. If you look at the Democrat turnout for the primary, it was significantly lower. And so what you would be able to point to is really that lack of enthusiasm on the Democratic side. Republican side, still good engagement across the board, up and down the ballot. But as we go into this fall, the party apparatus and working obviously with all of our great candidates, we'll be focused heavily on making sure we get out the vote as well as protect the vote, but then making sure we finish the vote. We've got great candidates, as you've identified, yourself included, up and down the ballot that we're going to need to make sure we get across the finish line and tying a lot of those Trump voters who are going to be showing up only every 4 years to vote for president. They don't show up any other time, and making sure that they actually get out there and vote up and down the ballot for Mark Robinson, Dan Bishop, Jefferson Griffin, who's running for the state Supreme Court, and obviously yourself right there in Iredell.
Well, and you know, even gets down to your county commissioners, and you know, I always say down the ballot, a lot of times we get in your pocket faster than the top of the ballot does to a point. But it's still hard to get the bang, the boom, whatever it is, to get people excited, to get them to come and do. I don't know. To me, voting's always been something that I thought was my job to do as a citizen of the state of North Carolina and United States of America. So I'm coming. If the polls are open, I'm coming to vote. I think that's one of the liberties we have that's still there and not taken away. We got about 1 minute. We got to go to a hard break. Jason, we'll come back. You know, we got some time afterwards. We'll probably go ahead and, you know, just get you teed up a little bit. We talked about the 2020 election and looking at election integrity. We did dominate it. So you look at all across the whole state as far as all the statewide races and the council of state seats, we did well. The Supreme Court, we did well. So a lot of good things happened in 2020. A lot of good things happened in 2022. So think about that. We got about 20 seconds till we go to this hard break. But think about those things. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the past. But the main thing we want to talk about is the future. So keep that on your mind, Jason, and we'll be right back here in a second. It's going to be a tough race this fall, and so we can't live in the past. We got to move to the future, and we got to get going. All right, hold tight, folks. We'll be right back here just in a short few. Got a few commercials. Thank you, Jason.
Stay with us. We'll have more Taking Care of Iredell with NC Representative Jeff McNeely after these messages on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now back to more Taking Care of Iredell with your host, NC Representative Jeff McNeely on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
All right. Back here for the last part of the show, and I swear it's a fast hour. Jason, are you still with me?
Always glad to be with you.
All right. Got Jason Simmons, our newly elected chairman for the North Carolina GOP, and we're talking elections. And just for a short, brief moment, we'll take a quick look over our shoulder at 2020 and 2022. And, you know, there were some questions. You know, everybody always asked me, how did Roy Cooper win? You know, how did Josh Stein just able to squeak out that over 10,000? So, you know, somebody else would have to pay for an audit of it to see what's going on. Of course, Elaine Marshall, she's going to be around long as time stands still. So, you know, I didn't see anything that I thought looked suspicious in 2020 other than COVID. Now, when I say that, I'm talking about North Carolina, not the whole daggum rest of the United States. That's a different story completely. But I didn't see anything that I couldn't figure out that, yeah, I could see this happening. Did y'all think there were any irregularities that we needed to really look at from 2020 or 22?
So the biggest concern that we had during the 20 cycle was the changes that the state board was attempting to implement.
Of course.
Well, the rules in the middle of the game.
Yep.
And there was a number of items that they were called out on, suits that were filed. A number of them won. And so, you know, we were able to make sure that especially the rules that they were trying to change were called out and in many instances not implemented. But when you look at, you know, some of the races that you identified, the biggest concern was the spending disparities where you've got, you know, Roy Cooper and others with the amount of cash that they were putting into those races. It was significant, and it ended up obviously proving fatal for some of our Republican candidates. But as far as from the election integrity side, you know, there's always rooms for improvement
and
continuing to find ways to learn on what you did the previous cycle. And that's where we look forward as we've seen great progress in 20 and again in 22. Being ready for 24 and being aware of what the Democrats and especially the Democrat-controlled Board of Elections is going to be doing.
Well, you know, thank goodness we were able to obtain a supermajority. Thank you, Tricia Cotham, in the House, and already had one in the Senate. And that allowed us to pass our election bills to help clean up things. And it was huge, huge getting that bill passed with all the different stuff we had in it. To me, that is going to be our rock, our foundation that we build off of. And so thank goodness we were able to override a veto and get that put in place. Now, there's lawsuits, and they're going to do that. We know that, but the bill's there, and that's the main thing. It's getting it in place so we can go forward. So, you know, all right, now we got the 2024 election coming. What are you seeing out there? What's the word on the street, as we say? How do you feel?
You know, I'm very optimistic. We have a great opportunity in front of us. As you look at what the Democrats are putting forward as far as messaging, it's only divisiveness. They don't have a record that they can run on. So that I can continue to find ways to demonize Republicans and find ways to only put forward issues that divide people, don't bring folks together. You look at the Biden economy and the record high inflation, you fill up your car with gas, you fill up your cart at the grocery store, you're paying more every time. And families are suffering under that just burdensome and oppressive inflation. And then you turn to the southern border and the crisis that we see there. Migrant crime, not just on our border, but across our country. And fentanyl as well, pouring over the border. Too many stories across our great state of kids, family members who are suffering from deaths and the impact that the fentanyl crisis has caused. And then you layer that with the Republican message of smaller government, lower taxes, in order to put more money back into families' pockets and get inflation under control. I like our message, and we have a message to be able to carry forward into this cycle that will be an optimistic message that will unite people as opposed to the Democrat message of divisiveness and dividing people.
Well, you know, we have the positive message, and you know, the Democrats now, but they're always great. They're great with the words they say. You know, I always say we'll never defeat them in social media. Obviously, that's all they have time to do, to sit around and be on social media. Unfortunately, I'm trying to make the economy work in my part of the world by getting out and doing something, try to earn a living. But, you know, they're always going to beat us on social media. We have done better. As far as our social media presence, anything you see out there that the GOP is going to really try to push on and try to improve where we are in our social media presence?
Absolutely, Jeff. You know, you got to meet voters where they're at. And so you're seeing a lot of younger demographics continuing to only get their news on social media. They don't turn on the nightly news. They don't, you know, go to the, you know, internet to be able to find actual news. They're getting most of their information from TikTok and Instagram. And so you've got to find ways to get to those voters earlier and more often.
Well, and I think that's going to be that's always going to be our struggle. It is. And you know, if you look at the demographics, a lot of times that come out and vote for the Republicans, we're not carrying the number of younger people. We're the 35 to 95 block. That's where we're at. And you know, I look in our own situation here in Iredell County and don't really have an actual good news source anymore, not a daily one anyway, other than maybe going online. So I think still a lot of us look for that paper out in the front yard or the box, and it doesn't happen that way anymore. That's not how it's going on. So we got challenges. You know, you did mention something too, and we saw that in the 2020 and we saw it in the 22. They always outraise money on us. They always do. Cooper raised an unbelievable amount, and most of it's from outside of North Carolina. Now, we did some work on that in 747, our bill that we put forth, but still, they always seem to at least get twice to three times as much. Is there plans or anything in place to help us really try to pick up our fundraising?
Yeah, we've had great conversations with our candidates across the board. And again, finding opportunities to raise money, not just here in state, but we've got a great network across the country who are willing and wanting to invest in these races. They understand the critical nature of North Carolina and what it will do nationally, not just on the presidential cycle. But you look at the efforts underway, both at the governor's race, the attorney general's race, and even our General Assembly. You guys continue to be able to receive a lot of attention because of the great work that you're doing and folks wanting to continue that forward. So we will have those ongoing conversations. But you, as you indicated, you're competing with the likes of Silicon Valley and New York. And they continue to just pour money in, especially dark money, into these races.
Well, you know, I've said it before. Good that the Republicans usually end up spending at least a tenth of their money at their church, believing in their religion and their God. And evidently the other side's God is the Democrat National Party, and they spend their 10% or more there. So I always tell Republicans got to come up with at least 20%, 10 for the church and 10 for the party, if they want to see these things happen. You know, we watched it. Roy Cooper bought up an ungodly amount of airtime on Dan Forrest, and Dan could, if Dan would have got money in, couldn't have bought it because Roy already had it done. And so getting the money early is critical too.
It is. The more that you're able to go ahead and get those ad buy commits early is going to be important, especially this cycle.
Well, we got about 2 minutes left to go. Give me your spiel, you know, on what you want to see happen to the North Carolina Republican Party going forward, even past 24.
Well, as we look at where we're at as a state, you know, we're really, and even as a country, you know, we're at a very pivotal moment. We always say every election is the most critical. But as you look at where we're at today, you know, you've got a president in Biden who puts America last, and you've gotten Trump, an individual who puts America first. And that's what we also see here in our own state with our races across our council of state, as well as up and down the ticket. Individuals who are willing to put our state and our local populations first and not themselves, not serve as TikTok stars or, you know, media celebrities. We've got candidates who, much like yourself, are out there doing the hard work, putting forward a message of hope and optimism, smaller government, lower taxes, put more money into our families' pockets to drive down inflation and be able to focus on what is truly important, and that's our families and the opportunities and futures for our kids, our grandkids, and making sure that they have a better America, a better North Carolina than the ones that we've been able to enjoy. And that's at risk right now.
Well, it is. It is. And every 2 years, I see that anything could go wrong. And I think Ronald Reagan, you know, we quote him as saying, you know, freedom, what we have as a republic, is only one generation away from disappearing. So we've got to be vigilant We've got to be diligent on what we do. So anyway, Jason, we're about out of time. So I appreciate you calling in. Good luck to you and me and all of us in this. And I know you're going to do a great job because you have. And I appreciate you serving for the whole state and for the party.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to join you and look forward to many other conversations.
All right, brother. See you. Bye. All right, folks, we got to say our prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, just we pray that common sense rules and that you have your way and you will put who in office that needs to be there to further your kingdom. So, Lord, I just pray that we are the answer to that prayer and just be with us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, folks, till next week, take care.
You've been listening to North Carolina Representative Jeff McNeely. Join Jeff again next Monday morning at 11:05 for Taking Care of Iredell on News Talk WSIC.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.